Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Okay, welcome everyone to another very exciting episode of Path to Podcast Success. I have a guest here with me today that I am very excited about. I think this is going to be a great conversation because I have a feeling this guest is going to bring out a lot of pretty cool and pretty powerful insights into the world of business. So with that said, Alex Kuhn, welcome to the podcast.
Evan, let's do better. Let's make this your best podcast ever. I know you said you're around 200 episodes, so let's bring it.
Oh yes, this is gonna be the best episode. That's for sure, guaranteed. So I like to start off in the same place with all my guests, and that's by making sure that everyone listening is on the same page and they have the context that they need to get the most they can out of this conversation. So for those people, go ahead and tell us, what is it that you do?
Sure. So I am the founder of Born to Lead. And what we do is we have worked with over 300 clients. We have an email list of over 30,000 people. And what I find is that there's people out there that were born leaders. Simply, they have a deep desire to create impact. They have a deep desire to help people, and they have a deep desire to serve. And I believe that they have a unique code to actually build and design a business that serves not only them at their hearts, but also more importantly, the types of people from a place of integrity. And what we simply do is we show them the simplest, easiest, most effective way to grow to our biggest client is doing 10 figures. So you can imagine the type of people we work with, from startups all the way to people that are on the Fortune 500.
Okay. So people have their business, they want to take it to the next level, and then they go to you.
That's what we're all about here. So,
okay. That's awesome. And how long have you been doing that for?
Oh man. So the short answer is Born to Lead was founded about 3 years ago, but I've been in entrepreneurship for 11 years, Evan. So I got two little ones there. So I'm like, okay, when was that? But I had little ones there. So 11 years ago, I mean, I've started and sold two of my own businesses. One was a membership site that was in 15,000 gyms. I had sold a digital marketing agency about 5 years ago. And I think for a lot of people it sounds like a lot of entrepreneurs are listening to this and they're kind of in the, you know, you're in the thick of it, right? There's no going back. It sounds like most of you are here because you're thinking about how to grow, how to scale, how to, we always like to say, fire yourself from the business and into the vision. And, you know, I can tell you that one of the things I love about this work I get to do is simply this, is that I get to every day be around the best kind of people, the people with the good hearts, the people with the good ideas, the people that generally want to do good on this planet. So that's what I'm grateful for to have been doing for the past 3 years.
That's incredible. I love seeing that example of that kind of entrepreneurship journey a lot of us go on, right? You start out in the business, right? You build the business, you know, maybe you sell it or, you know, whatever. And then eventually down the road, it's like when you found that success, that's kind of when the coaching comes in. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of a natural progression because people see that expertise and people want a part of it, right? People see the success you've been able to create, you know, that 11 year overnight success, you know what I mean? They're going to want to replicate. So then, yeah.
Well, I know, you know, everyone talks about, you know, what's been done behind the scenes, and you're right. There's, you know, call it coaching, mentoring, advising. And I'll say this very boldly. I don't even like to call myself a coach because I know that it is one of those professions that a lot of people get into. And sometimes people are doing it from a quick buck perspective or trying to, like, you know, kind of just sell something just to kind of get themselves going. But to me, I think it's actually an honor when somebody signs up for whether my programs or some, you know, very few one-on-ones I provide, because I know at the end of the day that they're putting, it's not just the blood, sweat, and tears and time and trust in me, but more importantly, obviously, they're putting their dream and their vision into somebody's hand. And so when any of you that are coaches here, I imagine the best people are listening to here. And I know that there's an honor, right? There's an honor when we get to work with these clients there because they are trusting us at a deeper level. It's not like they're out there buying an eraser or a cup from us. They are literally sharing their vision, their life, their dreams, their purpose, their why. And that's to me why it's an honor to be in this place. And I take it very seriously and make sure I can give people the best that I possibly can.
Right. And I love that, like, definition of coaching and your thoughts on it, because I've noticed a lot of, like, as time moves on, it's like the institution of coaching, or like the business of coaching, more and more you see, like, people are kind of tarnishing that name, right? Like, the further time goes on, the more I feel like, if I was a coach, I'd feel kind of weird calling myself a coach, right? Because a lot of people out there, you know, I always think of, like, the influencers who are posing in front of Lamborghinis talking about how easy it was to make $1 billion. And how you could do it too if you just buy my program, right? It's like, I see that and it's just, ugh. You know what I mean? And so I see a lot of that.
Yeah, Evan, I'll say this too. And I'm glad I think we're on the same page when it comes to thinking about this, that, you know, there's some, you know what a coach is. I mean, obviously I'm a big football fan. So sadly I'm a Steelers fan and we're not doing well right now as I record this podcast. But, you know, if I look at the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, the one thing that, if you're a big football fan, you know, Mike Tomlin wasn't a professional athlete. He's not a Hall of Famer. He wasn't the best football player in the world, but he's what's considered to be one of the best NFL coaches. And so this idea of being a coach isn't about actually being the best at what you do, because quite frankly, coaching is about helping others be the best in terms of what their skill set, what their vision, what their ethic is there. I think to me, we have to understand that coaching is not about what I've done, but more importantly, what I can help others do or what I've shown others to do. That's to me the biggest missing art of coaching nowadays.
Exactly. It's about those relationships that you create with these people, right? You have a relationship with someone, you care about them. They're not just a number on a list, and you help them grow. It isn't just you show yourself as this crazy, awesome, rich badass, right? Mm-hmm. And then they just buy your course and it's like, you know, you never speak to them.
Yeah.
Right. That's not what coaching is about.
Never. I don't see it that way. I know that the type of people that I really respect as coaches, you know, time and time again, it's amazing that I saw a friend write this there, that he said that he knows more people that are coaches that nobody knows about that are doing millions versus those coaches that have a million followers that are barely breaking six figures. And this idea of celebrity is not the ethos of what I think a coach is all about or what a mentor is all about. It's about really truly serving their clients to the best of their ability.
Right. And it's kind of an interesting mindset shift from that, because the people who are really, like, gung-ho about, you know, social media marketing and really trying to, you know, the coaches who are barely breaking six figures with a million followers, it sounds like a lot of those people probably didn't have the kind of business background that, say, you do, or that those coaches that you referenced who don't have that much of a following. I'm sure that they've been in the world. That was like, you know, the 11-year overnight success. They've been in the world of business how long? And then eventually people took interest and then they transitioned into the coaching and the mentoring. But a lot of people, it's like, you see coaching. Oh, all I have to do is get on a call and say some fancy words and make a bunch of money. Oh, I'll just do that now. You know, and if they don't have any background or experience in the world of business, they haven't made a reputation for themselves already in the community, then that's when you see people who come from nowhere and are just trying or just doing all the tropes, you know, like I always just think of the picture of like the guy standing in front of the really, really nice car. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the classic one. So you can always kind of tell.
Well, I always joke that the last thing anybody wants to see is me in an Instagram photo shirtless saying, laying on a Lamborghini of something. That's the last thing anybody needs to see in this entire planet. And I honestly, it breaks my heart, Evan, time and time again, where I know that a lot of the people that are trying to build their influence on social media are doing it because that's what they've been told, or that's what they've seen, or that's what, you know, the idea is that they're buying that perception of value. They're saying, oh, well, somebody has this many followers and it clearly looks like they're successful. It clearly looks like they're doing well. And that's what's going to take. It's I've got to have that many followers before I'm allowed to be successful. Yeah. The core to me of business and the core to me of success always kind of boils down to, you know, some simplistic aspects. There's most of us here. Actually, we did the just years ago when I had a digital marketing agency. Pittsburgh is, it's obviously a bigger city, but it's no New York, it's no Chicago. And so we did this study. We were kind of like trying to build our list. And one of the things we found was that there were 12,000 businesses in Pittsburgh that were doing $1 million or more. And I'm not, I don't know if they were profitable businesses or not, but I remember my mind thinking to myself, in a 7 square mile radius, there's 12,000 businesses that are doing $1 million. That like blew my mind. And kind of just sharing that point is that we think so much of this idea of being a celebrity, this idea of being an influencer, this idea of like having to have such big followings is the key to wealth, is the key to growth, is the key to a successful business. And quite frankly, there's a reason why we call them vanity metrics, because they simply are vain and often they only feed our egos. And I think that was always, that's always a big thing I think we're always working on is like, is this business about me or is this business about serving? It's one of the reasons why I love working with leaders.
Right. Now, I started my business when I was in high school. So, and I'm 24 now, still on the young side. When I first started, I was very, very impressionable, right? A lot of that marketing, a lot of that vain, like business strategy, right? Mm-hmm. When you see them with, you know, all their followers, you think, oh, they must be so successful, right? Mm-hmm. So I got sucked into a lot of that, but it never felt good or right to me, right? I always felt sleazy. I felt like some snake oil salesman. I felt like, yeah, I was in, it had like the same, like, you know, I felt like I was in some MLM or something like that. Like I just was not feeling good about it. So for the, I'm sure many people listening to this who are like, yeah, I mean, everyone keeps telling me I got to post on social media like a whole lot and grow my following in order to be, have, you know, a successful business. But that just does not like feel good to me. What advice would you give them? Because, you know, you still got to grow a business, right? You still want to make money. So what advice would you give them that could, you know, help them go against that that kind of vanity metric?
Sure. Yeah. I it's such a great question because I always ask this to any clients that come in because a lot of them have learned and in this world, in this day and age, we think here time and time again, what do I need to do on social media to grow the business? So one of the first questions I ask, and I hope this is kind of that aha moment, is imagine if what's called Meta now decided, you know what, we're shutting things down. We're getting rid of our Instagram, our Facebook, you know, TikTok follows suit. How would businesses grow? And if you really think about it, forget the idea of social media, forget the idea of TikTok or Instagram. And the question simply comes down to this is how do I actually meet where people's problems are and provide a result that they truly need? Whether you decide to do it on Instagram, whether you decide to do it a cold call, whether you decide to go to a networking event, I think the first thing is that rather than figuring out how I'm going to market and grow my business, the very first thing comes down to this is what feels really good to me from a pure place of integrity in terms of how I would love to help others. Because what's amazing is that most of us here have bought things that maybe we never thought about when we woke up that day, but that was something we actually down the road. So for example, I'm not a singer. The last thing anybody wants to hear me sing, but yes, I bought a singing lesson because I thought it sounded interesting. It sounded good. And they said, hey, you know what? If you even don't know how to sing and you think you suck at singing, let me see after 3 lessons if I can actually help you. And sure enough, I was a whole lot better singing than I was previous. Definitely not any Justin Bieber or I don't know who to think of in terms of singing prowess, but I feel like people are forgetting the core of what actually a business is. And the business is to solve problems. Instead of thinking about what I need to do in order to grow my influence, let's start by saying, hey, I want to be the best at solving this problem. In our organization, very simply, we come down to time and time again, we have so many people that are leaders at their heart. They want to help people. They want to make an impact. And they've been told that they have to be these big influencers. They have to do these 8-week courses. They have to have 55 things they have to sell. They have to sell these, you know, small things from $7 to $10 to $20 items. Instead of just saying, hey, let's be really good at one thing. Let's tell people, give them a chance to experience that one thing. And finally, give them an offer that's going to make it easy for them to say yes. That's what we teach. And that's why I think we do better in the world than anybody else, quite frankly. So whatever you're selling, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, just simply say, how do I become the best in the world at this? And simply show people why we're the best in the world at that.
I really love that because I've heard many a coach, quote unquote, talk about how like you need the all the different packages, all the different services and products and things, right? So, you know, you could sell something to anyone, mm-hmm. right? And it's like that also always just felt wrong to me mm-hmm. because it's like that just always felt wrong to me, mm-hmm. right? And it's about building those relationships and doing the thing that you do really well. Knowing it inside and out and how you can help people with it.
It's lifetime value. We all heard this word if you've been in business, whether at some point you're going to hear this LTV, right? Lifetime value. How do we actually help somebody for the life of their terms? And often I think that's where this idea of multiple products and multiple programs came to life. And let me be clear, for most of you here that might be listening, if you're actually doing 10 million and above, there is definitely some different strategies and some different problems you're solving. You're actually creating programs. Not the funniest thing is that there's a certain level in your business where you're not creating programs to profit. You're actually creating programs to actually break even or to maybe even lose less because you're trying to position yourself differently in the marketplace. You're not thinking about just simply business growth. You're thinking about actually what we call mental real estate, meaning that when somebody thinks about a specific word or specific phrase or a specific problem, they think of you first. And that's one of the reasons why you see some of those companies have like $7 ebooks or $19 courses or whatever those things are. They're not actually making money from that. They're just trying to get into the mindset of that individual. But when you're growing before $10 million, quite frankly, you don't have the time, you don't have the resources. And I also say time and time again, the question is what do you want your life to look like? You know, how many of us think simply got into business because we just wanted to work in business? I don't know about most people here, but I am a boring dad. I am a very boring, I got a 3-year-old, I got a 7-month-old, I got an amazing wife. I lead a very relaxed life. I like to watch my Steeler football games on Sunday there. And I also love to win. I am very competitive. And so for me, business is a game to actually make a difference for people there. And that's what I love to do. I want to see how good I can do it with others. So when we think about this idea of what we actually matters to us, for most of us, it's not about truly building the biggest thing ever. You can have a legacy without having to be the Amazon. You can have a legacy without having to have 100 team members. You're allowed to build it on your own terms and in your own vision and your own lifestyle.
Right. I really resonate with what you're saying because I've said the exact same thing. I love it's what do you want your life to look like? Right. And that question is a really big part of my life because growing up, I was always one of the biggest things I struggled with was what do you want to be when you grow up? Right. I never knew what I wanted to do until, you know, I grew up and then I realized that that's not the right question. Mm-hmm. The right question is what do you want your life to look like? Yeah. Right. And then that's, of course, where a lot of entrepreneurs, I feel like, kind of fall into the trap of just creating another job for themselves. Right. And it's like you kind of forget why you became an entrepreneur in the first place. Like for me, yeah, I became an entrepreneur because I like my free time. You know, I like to be able to control my time and when it's free and when it's working on the business. And even when it's working on the business, like it's still, I choose to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to show up to an office 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And that's like that freedom is why I became an entrepreneur. And so I have to always remind myself of what I want my life to look like and that my business is something that is enabling that lifestyle, is something that is supporting that, is something that I very much enjoy doing, something I'm very passionate about. But at the end of the day, it's something that supports my life. It isn't my life.
It's hard too. And I'm sure, Evan, I mean, like you said, you started 18. I'm curious, what 6 years now, what's popped up for you?
I mean, that's a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Having the, like in terms of like business mindset, like, or what do you mean?
Well, I was curious. You said you started in 18 because I know you said you got an entrepreneur at 18 and you're 24. So 6 years now. So I'm just curious what you want your life to look like.
Yeah. I mean, so it's definitely been a lot of ups and downs because I had to figure it out. Right. Because again, that was something that took a while to figure out, but now I know that freedom is the number one thing. Right. I really, I love to travel. right? I love to travel. I love my hobbies. I love my free time, right? Mm-hmm. And I also had to figure out what part of, like, do I love podcasting? Because I kind of fell into podcasting. Because mm-hmm. what my business is, and my listeners know this, but what my business is and what prompted me to start the show is I'm a podcast producer. I have a podcast production agency, got a team helping me. I edit podcasts for businesses. That's kind of like the in the nutshell version, right? And I kind of fell into it when I was in high school. And so I had to decide, is this what I really want to do? Especially after having a hard time kind of sifting through all that, the kind of vanity marketing that I saw, which is easy, especially when you're kind of young and impressionable, right? And mm-hmm. also not making any money. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to see that and go, oh yeah, okay, I'll just do that. And then it'll make the money that I want to make, right? So I had to figure out, do I want to stick with podcasting? And if so, how am I going to do this in a way that feels right to me? And mm-hmm. so I figured both of those things out, you know? So that's kind of what's come up for me is creating a business and a life that I can be proud of and that makes me feel good. You know what I mean? Like, finally, and having to work through all of that and figure out how that works and then how to do that and make money.
Well, you feel the joy from you too, Evan. It comes across the screen and you get, now I don't know if people can't see this, but you could see it, you even just like lift up in your shoulders and the smile kind of comes through. It's awesome to see.
Thank you. I appreciate that because it's definitely, I mean, it's definitely been a long journey and it feels really good to be able to do something that I enjoy and that helps people in a way that's really easy to share, you know, and it just feels really good. So I appreciate you asking. It's always kind of fun when the guest kind of throws a question back at you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's funny because obviously I know you want this podcast to be conversational, but I mean, that's where the best part is. I mean, I know you said you're 24. What you said to me. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little older than that. I'll tell everyone here. I'm not bash. I'm 40. And you know, when I think about my 20s, you said something that I thought, oh my gosh, that's so true, where you fall into things. And I always tell people, like, my first career was, I was a college swim coach. You know, I fell into that. And you know, it's funny how, like, I think it was Steve Jobs who used to say, like, you can connect the dots when you look backwards, but it's hard to connect those dots when you're looking forwards. And like, you may have fell into podcasting, but it sounds to me like you do a really good job with 200 episodes. Good for you, man. And I think the second thing is just that it clearly is, it's brought up some new opportunities, and clearly it sounds like travel is your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely, I found the part of podcasting and the way to make that into a business that I love doing and have no desire to stop doing. You know what I mean? So doing that, which allows me to relax and to travel and to all, and just to have the freedom to do with my time what I choose. That's the dream. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. I mean, definitely in my 20s, it's difficult to not fall into things. I'm a lot better now than I used to be, but it's hard to resist. And that's why I've noticed, actually, on a lot of my podcast episodes, this one included, I've recently talked with a lot of my guests about that kind of, I honestly look at it kind of like toxic marketing, right? Because it preys and manipulates on the kind of the business owners who are just starting out, right? Who are broke, right? Who have big dreams, but they don't really know how to get there, or there's a lot of confusion. And a lot of that marketing preys on those people.
Yeah. One of the things that any entrepreneur has to learn at some point is that you have to understand how to invest, but you also have to understand that you're going to lose money no matter what stage of the game you are. You have to understand that there's going to be sunk costs and there's going to be losses along the ways, whether it's learning some. I mean, I see it all the time, you know, many clients. And of course, it breaks my heart because I don't want to see them, you know, sink, you know, savings and life savings. And yeah, because I've been there, you know, I can empathize. I can compassionately appreciate, but that's a skill. That skill of saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe I invested in that. What was I thinking? What was I doing? Why did I buy that? Why did I hire that team member? Why did I buy that company? Why did I? You have those moments. And, you know, we can talk about the idea of being resilient. We can talk about the idea of learning from it, but it still stings. I mean, I tell people, like, I think I've invested over $1 million in some personal education or education for my team. Stories of where, you know, I thought this team member was going to be with me for life, and we invested over $100,000 in them. And sure enough, after they got the training, they left for a better position, a position they wanted. And so you start to understand, like, that you just get a little bit smarter. And the hope is that people that, you know, when the entrepreneurs have these mistakes or these failures or these struggles, the worst thing that can happen is you get to a place of cynicism or becoming cynical. That's the thing I think actually holds most entrepreneurs back, is that when also when your mindset becomes so jaded by the failures and by getting screwed over, that if you can continue to just see the good in people, you can continue to see the good in yourself even, that's to me where that's when you start to see the cream rise to the top.
Yeah, exactly. Being able to be introspective like that and just be confident in yourself. And that was, I think, one of the biggest shifts for me, right? Is confidence. You need to have that confidence in yourself that comes just from yourself, right? Not from how many Lamborghinis you have or how fancy your house is or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's confidence in you as just the human being that you are, not the stuff that you have.
Yeah, it's you have to. There's something that years ago that a friend of mine had me start doing. He just said, hey, can you just... Every morning I was struggling. I just got broken up with somebody I thought I was going to marry, and down. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing with my life? What am I doing here? I can't find love. I can't find success in my business. I can barely pay the mortgage. Like, what am I going to do? And I can remember him sitting there saying, Alex, just start every morning by looking in the mirror. It's like, I know it's hard, but just look straight at yourself and just find reasons why you like that person looking back at you without the, just that person. What do you see? And I can remember, like, fine, I said. So the first morning, I'm like finding all these horrible things. And I told him, I said, I look hideous. You know, I need to get in shape. I need to do this. Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like it was hard. It was so hard. He said, do it again and do it again and do it again. And that, what you find out is that it is very easy to find fault with yourself. And often when we find faults with ourselves, if we continue to focus on that, that's when we find faults in the world. And that's when we find faults in what's actually happening to us. You think it's the world, but it's really, I think, a reflection of how we see ourselves. And that was one of the most powerful exercises. And one of the things I still even do to this day is just waking up. And some days it's hard. I get it. I know all of us don't have our best days. But what is that thing I like about myself today? What is that thing that's going to make me proud to show up to an incredible podcast like this, where I'm talking to this Evan here? I'm talking to Evan, and he's hoping I'm going to bring some good. So if I'm showing up thinking, feeling like crap and not feeling good about myself, I'm not going to do that. I think that's one of the biggest things. That it's hard, but yeah, this is just, it's all of this is about much more about ourselves as opposed to what others say about us.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's incredibly powerful. And that's something that I think people can really take and run with. It's about how you see yourself, and it all comes down to you. You know what I mean? It really does. Alex, I think we could probably talk about all of this for hours, but I want to make sure I respect your time and the time of our listeners. So Alex, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your incredible insights and for having this conversation and for throwing a couple back at me as well. We said we're going to make this one of the best interviews, and definitely one of my personal favorites, I think, because it's just like, it's always fun. It's always very exciting when someone takes an interest in me as well as me taking an interest in them. So I really appreciate you for that, Alex. And for people who are interested in you and in all the work you're doing, where can they find out more about you?
I mean, there's always a million places, but honestly, I do most of my communicating with the world on Instagram. If you just type in Alex Kuhn, K-U-H-N, or if you type in our company name, Born to Lead, you'll find me. You'll find what we can do for you. And quite frankly, for those of you that want to join our programs, you know, time and time again, we can help you actually design a program that you can be proud of, a program that has honor, a program that aligns with your soul. And we can really, over 3 years, actually help you grow beyond the limits of money, time, and fear. I know at the core of every person I work with, they truly want to grow as a human being. And while we definitely help you from a business perspective, that's where I think the leadership aspect comes in. So that's where you can find me, is on Instagram. But I also want to make sure that you please know this, is that if you never, never spend a single cent with my company, if you never pay me a dime, and if you follow me on Instagram, you will find that you can actually grow this business on your own. That's truly my point, is that some people want to accelerate the process, and that's amazing, and we're happy to have them in our program. But if we believe in impact, it means simply that we don't expect everyone to pay us, that we still want to serve the world, no matter how much it costs us money, if you will. So please follow me on Instagram. And if I can serve you in any way on a deeper level, please reach out and let me know.
That is amazing. And I think that's what sets you apart from a lot of other coaches and businesses, because oftentimes you see content and courses and things of that nature. A lot of times they're just fancy sales pitches, right? But not with you. Yeah, you know what you do, and you know you charge for what you do, and you're okay asking for money for that. But at the same time, if someone experiences your free content or only one level of your paid content, they can still take that and create a successful business off of it. And again, I think that's what really sets you apart and shows that you do actually put value first, and you do actually care about the people who you impact. So thank you for that, Alex. And thank you again for being such an amazing guest on the podcast today.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.